B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
And Greenwood Racing now has sports betting at three locations. Parks Casino, Ben Salem, South Philadelphia Racing Sportsbook on Packer Avenue, and the Oaks Racing Sportsbook, Route 422 in Oaks. Cash your winning tickets at any of the three locations. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, business owners. If you're not getting fast, reliable internet and a full suite of business solutions at a great price, switch to Comcast Business. Get fast 150 megabit internet plus 4G LTE backup to keep your business running even when the power goes out. All for just $99.90 per month. Plus, get free installation. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 7/7/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra. Subject to change. Backup limited. Up to 8 hours.
Hi, I'm Joe Ferrer, the regional vice president at Pep Boys. Before heading out on your summer road trip, make sure your ride is up to the task. Check oil and fluid levels, tire pressure and treads, and don't forget the air conditioning.
Right now at Pep Boys, do it yourself and save $20 with an AC Pro kit. And change your oil for less with $15 off a 5-quart jug of Pennzoil, Mobil 1, Castrol, or Valvoline synthetic motor oil. $15 off. Now through July 7th, only at Pep Boys. Offers after mail-in rebates. See restrictions at PepBoys.com.
Find everything you need to be road trip ready at Pep Boys.
Live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast, you are listening to the sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to the Fanatic family. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
What up? Hello. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy July the 3rd. Across the Delaware Valley. It's a Wednesday before the holiday. I'm Anthony Gargano. It's the Midday Show. Jason's off today as we hang out here after Dr. Freeze returns. Yay! That's right. Aaron Nola was sensational last night. Game one with the Braves, and it was unbelievable. He allayed a lot of fears. I'll tell you, watching that last night against that team made me feel a lot better about this team. Because you can't go forward, even if they would have gotten another pitcher at the break. You need Nola to be effective. You need him to be a strong presence on the mound and give them. Because if they did make the playoffs, right? Right now, I'm iffy on whether or not they can make the playoffs. You know, you got Atlanta, you got Washington and them, and two of the three will probably make it. And I don't know if they're in the two. But if you get to the playoffs, you need guys that can start. And right now, thank God you have one. And if you go get another pitcher, you know, whether it's Greinke or whether it's Mad Bum, then you got two, and Arrieta is fine as you're like number three in that sense. But you got to get somebody. And if you need a fourth, you go Pivetta and then have everybody at the further bullpen. But it was a good game last night, so we'll talk about the Phillies. Today, I got a real thing I want to talk to you about. And we'll get into Ben Simmons. And I got numbers, and I know you probably don't want to hear them. You probably don't want to hear Kawhi Leonard's numbers after two seasons. And you probably don't want to contrast them. And I understand. I understand all of your angst. I've heard it. You guys know by now I'm a Simmons fan. And I realize that Max is a huge bet on him for the future. And I don't know how long it's going to take him to develop a true mid-range game or, you know, going to the line. I'm expecting him to improve. I don't know how dramatically he'll improve to satisfy everyone. So I'm prefacing by saying I'm not going to argue with you. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I just think he's that good everywhere else. But he's got a game that is unique, and it's got so much depth to it that I think we take it for granted because of the lack of scoring, the lack of shooting. And so, believe me, I understand it. You know, I completely get it. But trust me, and we'll talk about this, I think he'll be worth it, and I think it's prudent on the Sixers to lock him up to a long-term deal. Take away any of these, you know, he's going to go to L.A., any of that stuff. I mean, the process yielded Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And I got to go all in with those two. And, you know, I surround them, like, with now Tobias and then, you know, Josh Richardson and Horford for a little bit. That's fine. But the two cornerstones of the franchise are Embiid and Simmons. And for some reason, and I mean, I understand the shooting piece of it. Maybe that's all it is. Or maybe it's personality driven. And for some reason, you guys have to articulate this to me. You guys don't like him. You guys don't really dig him. Because, you know, we've given athletes the benefit of the doubt in Philadelphia. And he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And he does give you other areas that are plus areas. Like, he's a plus defender. He's a plus rebounder. He's a plus distributor. So he does other things really, really well. But all that said, as well as he does all those things, there's a very large population of Sixer fans that just doesn't, I don't know, like him. I mean, his Q factor, while Embiid is high, I think Ben's is low. So I want you to articulate that to me and tell me why and what it is about him that rubs you the wrong way. And listen, it's fair. I mean, you know, the one thing that's funny, Mike did a show about likability when we were talking about the Phillies. And I do believe that likability is a huge factor in when it comes to being a fan of a team. It just is. Like, yeah, it is. Number one is about winning. But number two is you want to like the guys that you root for. You want to feel connected to them. And, you know, and Ben has that kind of cool demeanor. He's kind of Australian cool in the sense that I guess he could be a little chilly. He's not really that warm. He's also got a cool de la, you know, kind of way about him. And maybe that turns people off. I don't know. You guys have to tell me what it is about. But he's going to be a part of this landscape for a long time. And I kind of want to bridge this a little bit because I understand how I think likability plays in this and how you feel about your team. Now here's my man, the Chunis. We ride together. Chunis,
hello, Anthony.
Now I know you're excited. We'll get to your Phillies a little bit later on.
Yeah, but come on now.
Andrew South,
Chunis, I couldn't sleep last night.
The baseball show. Do you sense that? There is something about him that the fans can't wrap their arms around him.
Yes.
I was listening, and I want to play this coming up. I was listening to Sound Off yesterday on Mikey's show, and it was disturbing. The idea of the negativity surrounding this Sound Off was so disturbing to me. And I want to play it coming up. And I need to know why. And I know I want to help. Like, I want to help bridge it. Because I want everybody on board. Because I do think this is a team that's going to fight for a championship over the next 5 years. And I want people to be on board. Do you sense it?
Yes. I think there's two things that really stick out. One, it's the idea of, well, he isn't a proven product yet. Why is he getting $170 million? I know a lot of, that was, you heard that on Sound Off yesterday. Why are you paying a man $170 million who can't take a jump shot or isn't willing to take a jump shot? I think that's one of the things. The other thing, and I go back to the exit interviews with the media when they he was asked about taking a jump shot and he just kept on sort of downplaying it. Like, yeah, I'll work on it. I'll work on it.
Yeah, I agree.
What do we love in Philadelphia? We love T.J. McConnell because he's gritty and he's going to work hard.
Well, you don't even have to go to T.J. You can go to Joe. Yeah, what did Embiid say? Embiid right away
cried,
embraced, I got to get in better shape. He was upset. He's like, I got to eat better. I know what I got to do. And so the fan said, all right, way to go, Joel.
You're seeing what I'm seeing.
You know, that's awesome. And look. You know, I feel the same way. I'm happy he feels like that. I am. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And I wish Ben was a little bit more giving of his own flaw.
Right. Ben was like, yeah, I'll work on it. Like, right. He wasn't like, I'm going to go out there. I'll come back here with a 30% 3-point shot next season. No, he just said, yeah, I'll work on it.
Yeah.
And downplayed it.
He did. And I think that rubbed people the wrong way.
Exactly.
So I agree with you. And I think, see, the reason why, though, I think it for him, I think we all forget he's 22, right? Like, he's still 22 years old.
He's a pup.
And any admission to it, like, he knows the flaw. Like, nobody has to tell him. He understands it. And I think he's got to come to grips with whether it's looking badly. Well, you know, how he's perceived. I heard somebody say yesterday, well, you know, I know that he doesn't want to look bad, but he looks worse because he doesn't shoot it. And yeah, I do. I agree with that. But, like, you're also dealing with a 22-year-old kid who's very prideful. You know, who's had a lot of great moments on the basketball court in lieu of just shooting.
Well, then let me ask you this, because you know a lot more about what's going on inside the building than I am. Is Ben Simmons prideful enough to go out there and work on this jump shot? Because a lot of people are also saying, well, you just gave him $170 million without a jump shot. So you're basically telling him you're worth this much money without the jump shot. I've heard that on the radio today. I saw it on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
They basically said to him, all right, even without the jump shot, here's $170 million.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the NBA radio. So my buddy Frank Isola is a host on the NBA radio. And he does these headlines. And it's funny. He's reading the headlines. He goes, Ben Simmons gets $170 million. And he goes, that's without taking a three-pointer. Right? Making a three.
Right.
And he goes into the whole thing. And then Antonio Daniels, who's co-host with him, says, yeah, well, you know, if he gets a jump shot, it's a wrap. You know, because everybody realizes he's got tremendous talent. So, I understand it. That, you know, I get it. But he does do a lot. Like, to me, it's the smart move. I know a lot of people out there disagree. And believe me, I understand that aspect of the game. But sometimes I think we take for granted some of the other aspects that are thankless and that he does really, really well. So we'll get into all of that today. We also have Billy King joining us and Tim Legler. So we got you covered. So we'll get BK's kind of look at this Sixer roster. We'll take a look. We'll do get legs to break it all down and where the Sixers rank when it comes to the NBA. So we got lots to do today. And we got Phillies because I know the Chunis and the baseball show. I know you're excited.
They're back, man.
All right, you're all back. You're bringing the bamboos back to life.
Now screw the bamboo. This team on paper is good enough, and they're starting to figure out how to win.
Are they good enough?
Yes.
Let's talk about that straight ahead, too, as well. Lots to get to. 610-632-0975.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I don't know why I have to imitate that every time I hear. You know, these drops are so ingrained in my head that I start to speak in them.
Oh yeah, that'll never end.
Like you had mentioned something to me this morning, and I did the Bernie who? Like
who?
Like I don't know why these drops now become.
Well, it's like that at Fan Fest, too. Every single year, when you walk up on the stage, the people start yelling the drops at you.
Yeah, they're great drops, man. And I miss some of the morning show drops that we used to have. We used to have some funny ones. Because there were always more... Because you and Jason control the... Yeah, everybody's got their own drop favorites. And you weren't... You know, you got to be there when the drop happens.
Right. That was one of your favorites.
That always was one of my favorites. God, right. Because God bless Bill Johnson. He's a great man. But here he was on the field, and he probably had a couple of Browns
in
him.
A couple.
You know? And he's on the field. Yeah. Let's give the National League pennant to the Colorado Rockies. The Bill Giles Trophy. William Giles III. Oh, my. All right. So, real quick. Nola was sensational, and bigger than that, more important, was that Gabe stuck with Nola. Gabe, you know, he resisted the temptation to go bullpen, thankfully. So Gabe stuck with Nola, and it paid off.
Yeah, I texted you last night.
Yeah.
I said Gabe is riding his ace.
Oh, my.
Yes, another one that's I got to hear over and over again in my head. Yeah, no, he did. It was important. So a little bit later on, we'll debate because you think the Phils are so. It's my estimation, and tell me if we agree on this: that two of the three teams are going to make the playoffs between the Braves, Nationals, and Phillies.
Yes,
not all three, two of the three.
Correct.
So we should size up those three teams. A little Andrew Salchunas. Cause baseball segment.
Okay.
I had planned for
you can make that work.
All right, because I'm not so sure. You think the Phils are there of two of the three. I don't know. I really don't know.
I think they're one of the teams that get in.
All right.
Stand by my prediction.
I like that. I like the fact. All right, Sixers roster is pretty much set. Now, they need another guard. So, I don't know. That could be TJ because they can bring him in and go over the cap. They got a, you know, they only have is a minimum left, but the roster's set now. Your starters, obviously Ben, Josh Richardson, Tobias Horford, Joe, and you got Mike Scott, O'Quinn, Ennis comes back. Look, Ennis played well in the playoffs too. Hit a couple open threes. He can D up. Then you got the kids, Shake Milton, who's really your only backup point guard right now on the roster. Zaire, you got Matisse Thybulle, you got Bolden, and you got O'Quinn. So that's your 12. That's 12. They're going to have room for a couple more. And we'll see what else, because they definitely need a backup point guard.
I have a feeling, and it's a bad feeling, because
TJ comes back.
No disrespect to my man, but I'm done with the TJ McConnell era, but I could see him coming back here. Because they have his bird rights, they can go over the cap with him, and they'll probably give him... Right now, TJ's looking for money at this point.
Yeah.
Because he only got paid $1 million last year. He's looking for a nice contract. The Sixers could offer him somewhere in the 6-8 range and go over the cap, and listen, then he's your backup for a year.
I mean, look.
And it's one more year of TJ.
You know, I think you can do worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly know...
The guy I gave you earlier... Howl Neto.
Yeah.
From the Jazz.
Yeah. Neto. N-E-T-O. Yeah. I think, you know, here's the deal. You want a guy, preferably you want a backup point guard that can shoot. And that's, you know, TJ's limitation. He can't shoot the three. But I got no problem coming back with TJ as a depth guy. I really don't.
So your backup guard that scores is Shake. And then if you need a little extra defensive help, because let's face it, TJ's an energy guy. Yeah.
He's an energy guy. I mean, like, you know, I got no problem with TJ playing 12 minutes a game. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, at that point. And again, you're talking the regular season. Come playoff time, you're going to short your bench.
Yeah, Ben's playing 40 minutes.
Right. And Josh Richardson could also play a little one. So he could play a little point. Tobias can run the offense a little bit as well in that sense. So there's things they can do. I still think come deadline and buyout, you get another guard that can fire away and that can handle the point. All right, let's open up the phone lines. Ramon in Mount Airy here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ramon?
Yo, yo, what's up, cuz?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man, just laying back. Listening to, I'm trying to get all my basketball numbers and facts down, man, and listening to some of this fan base. I'm not understanding where this, you think we went from sugar to ish.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, it's, Jimmy, let's get down to it, cuz you and I, we both been. I campaigned for the boy to get here. I think what Elton just said was, look, we're going to put the ball in your hands, kid. It's time to you're taking off the training wheels. It's like you're telling your wife, look, baby, he's good. He can ride. No, I don't want him to fall. Man, I'm going to take these training wheels off. Once you fall one time, you're going to make sure it don't happen twice.
Yep.
He's going to get in there. He knows what it is. I was PO with his exit interview, end of the season interview. I was PO with that. Young kid.
See, I think a lot of people were.
Yeah, and it rubbed the wrong way. You know, we straight up with the head. Like, yo, you going to tell me what it is or you not? You know, one way or the other with us. But that's a lot of arrogance. But the arrogance comes from the pride and just the young kid too confident. Like, nah, I'm not even going to, which I like, I'm not even going to let you know. You know what my weakness is, but I'll never admit it. And that's what it came. But now you got the ball in your hands. They didn't sign Jimmy, which I'm with you, because they didn't offer him that money because they knew if they kept Jimmy here, you'll never get him to develop. He'll never be what he should be if Jimmy stays here. If Butler's here, I get tired of saying Jimmy, man. I feel like a Seinfeld episode. but if Butler's here, he never develops. And I don't know about that
because you weren't going to run. You weren't going to run. You just happened to run the offense out of necessity in the playoffs through him. Regular season, Ben ran the offense.
Right, Ben did then, but I'm saying this to us. If you're going to be, for you to been that journalist and the sports journalist that you were, you had to tone that skill somewhere. You couldn't have just sitting in your room writing up on your board.
Yeah,
you
no, no.
Take,
yeah.
You got to take it. So I'm just saying in this regard, he has to, it's, you, Ben, you're an all-star. But everybody sees and knows you could be a superstar if you do this one thing. And that one thing is, I just say, the difference between him and Giannis tries on court. Ben just has to do it on court.
Ramon, you're dead right, man. I agree, brother. Thank you. I agree. I think you're dead right. Now, I want to read you this because this is Kawhi Leonard's stats. This is his third year in the league. All right? He plays at 20, he plays at 21, he plays at 22. So this is his finished third season. All right? Finished third season. And he's playing at 22 years old. So he played in 65 games. He averaged 6.2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.7 steals, 0.8 blocks, 1.2 turnovers, and 12.8 points. That's Kawhi Leonard. That's his third. That's after his third season. That's the best player in the league today. After his third season, gave you those numbers. Now, after his second season, and remember, I know that Ben had the medical red shirt. But after his second season, what's Ben give you? Ben at 22 gives you 8.8 rebounds, 7.7 assists, 1.4 steals, 0.8 blocks, 3.5 turnovers, and 16.9 points. I mean, you know, that's after his second season right. in the league.
Now, my one thing with the Kawhi point total, was he the third option at that point?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But so was Ben.
Right.
That was the third option.
Yeah, especially in the half court, he was the fifth option.
Fifth option. Really. You could make it that he was certainly the fourth later on when they get right. Tobias and Jimmy and Joe, he's fourth. But my only point is that those numbers, and that's at 22, that's his second year in the league, and I expect those numbers to go up a little bit.
And I expect one number to go down, turnovers.
Yeah, but 3.5 is not...
Not killer.
For a second-year guard, it's not bad at all. I mean, he's got the ball in his hands
right,
a lot.
Right.
So, numbers-wise, these are pretty special numbers to have in your second year in the NBA. Hawk, you're on 97.5, Fanatic Hawk.
What's going on with you guys?
What's happening, Hawk?
Hey, you know what? Last time I called up, you were wondering how I felt about Ben. Listen, I'm all Sixered up, man. I love Ben. I want to see him succeed. I'm rooting for the Sixers. I want Brett Brown to do well. You know that. You said it yourself. The thing with Ben is I'm not going to say that he's not working hard on it. I believe that Ben works hard on it, but me, I look at it more like this is on his brother and this is on his father, the handlers, because I believe that Ben is a good kid, and whether people call him a pompous ass or arrogant, he has someone that he listens to. And I think that his brother isn't teaching him the right points and how to fix his jump shot. He's not seeing the results. And
yeah, he's got another coach now he's working with. He's not
okay,
his brother.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So I think that what we'll see him take the jump shots. He has to focus on the rotation of a jump shot. I was a marksman when I played, and I'm not going to bring myself into it. I'm talking about when I played, you know, basketball. But if he focuses on a rotation on the shot, every good jump shooter can the rotation is perfect. You cookie jar it, whatever you want to hold, say it. And then the pinky doesn't lie. A lot of guys, you see him flare the pinky when they shoot the ball. He just has to get that down, idiot-proof his jump shot, and I think he'll depend on it a little bit more. He'll learn to rely on it. And the last point that I want to make before you cut me off, man, is he needs to focus more on being like a Pascal Siakam, a guy who can catch the ball just all summer long. Just catch and shoot, Ben. Just catch and shoot.
Yeah, and remember, though, I think I'm with you. I want to do catch and shoot, too, but Pascal Siakam is a completely different type player. Ben is your point guard.
Right, but this is...
Pascal's not their point guard. Go ahead.
But you have other guys on the team like what you had with Jimmy who could go hunt and get a bucket. They can get a basket. So, Ben, sometimes when Joel is working, you can suck the defense in for Tobias to help, for Joel to help. So, Ben, you need to be all the way in the corner. You mean to tell me that what's the guy that got caught on the phone? He's a better three-point shooter. Ben just needs to start off in the corner.
He's not going to start off in the corner because here's the thing. He's got the ball in his hands.
I understand, but that's advanced physics. And when you talk about shooting off the bounce like a guy like a Paul George, there's only selected
people
who can shoot off the bounce.
But he's not a spot up, though. He's not going to be a spot up three-point shooter. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, before you cut me off, that's the beginning. You can shoot from the top of the key, but set your feet when the ball comes to him. Take the jump shot. When they come flying out at him, go by the guy.
I hear you. But I honestly, Hawk, I think he's got to work more on with guys sag, right? You got to be able to shoot off the dribble in a mid-range game. Yeah, I agree, catch and shoot. But he's not on the floor. He's not going to be that guy who's lined up in the corner as a type of stretch four. He's going to be up top of the basketball. So if he's up top, he's got to be able to play up top. And he's got to allow Joe to play in the low block. Listen, we know there are going to be times when Joe's at the high post because that's, you know, just to save his legs. He's going to be high, and he's good. But, you know, I'm with everybody else in that, yeah, I agree. Joe needs to have a semblance of a post-up game in a low block, which also means Ben has to be up top with the basketball in his hands. So if they sag, he's got to be able to hit – on top of the key,
free throw line extended shot, right? You got to be able to hit that shot. And that shot's going to come off the dribble. Like, I don't care about his three-point game. I don't. I care about two things. I care about him attacking the rim and being a willing free throw shooter, getting to the foul line. There's no reason why he can't get to the foul line 8 to 10 times a game. And the only thing I care about him developing is a mid-range game. That's it. Give me the mid-range game. You know, if the three-point game comes, to me, that's a bonus. But if you're going to sag on me and clog the lane, I got to make you pay with that top of the key, just inside the key, you know, above the foul line shot. Because now you can't sag. Now that opens up spacing for Joe. Even if I do surround, you know, I got Tobias, Horford can step out. So I got guys that can do it. But, like, when we talk about a shot, that shot to me has to come in that mid-range area.
Right, 12 to 15 feet. Now, do you expect him to average anywhere near one three-point attempt a game?
One attempt, a game?
I'm not saying make, attempt.
Probably not.
Not even in the 0.8 range.
I don't know. I mean, I don't expect him to come back with a three-point game.
I'm just expecting, like, okay.
See, again, I don't think he needs a three-point game. I think he needs a mid-range game.
I agree, but let's look at Giannis, because who's the guy that we always want to compare him to? We wanted to compare him to Giannis because we want him to be Giannis. Giannis at least attempts three-pointers. They're ugly. We've seen him airball three-pointers.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying he's going to shoot none, but my focus is more in the mid-range. Because Ben is more of a facilitator than Giannis is.
Yes.
Giannis, the Bucks need Giannis to score. And he's their number one option to score. The Sixers' number one option to score is Embiid, then Tobias, then as constituted. Look, Richardson will get his points. But then Ben, you know, Ben's got to average close to 20.
Richardson will get his points when it comes from the hands of Ben Simmons.
Yeah, although he can create a little bit. He can create.
I'm saying, like, on the break sometimes.
Yeah, but he can also create in half
trailing
court.
Three-pointers.
He can create in half court. But, the whole point is that Ben's got to be able to score, but Ben also needs to be a factor on the floor in a half-court game. So the regular season, to me, he's got to work on, like, I would look at this regular season because they're going to win, you know, 55 games. It's a given. That team's going to win 55 games. What I would look to do in a regular season is get him comfortable enough in the half court that he's shooting mid-range shots.
We saw him do it a little bit last year where he did the turnaround fadeaway from the elbow. And sometimes it didn't look pretty, but at least he took it.
Yeah, well, he has to do it. Like, look, again, if you sag off me, I got to be able to do two things. I got to be able to hit that shot in your face from 16 feet out, or because you're sagging on me, I got to attack the rim and be able to draw a foul.
And not jump in the lane and then pass it somewhere and
right,
then it's a turnover.
Or avoid contact. Like, he's got to look for contact. That's what he has to do. Look for contact.
Yeah, because we have seen him, and we talked about it during the season. He'll drive the lane, and even if he does go up for a layup, he'll try to shift his body so that he doesn't get hit. And then that's when we talked about how he has no touch around the rim because he's trying to avoid contact. Yeah. And then he just sort of pegs it at the backboard, and that's why he misses layups too.
Right. Right.
You need to be smooth.
You got to be smooth. I agree. All right. We'll come back, and we'll get to everybody. Run a lot of calls straight ahead. Midday show. I'm Cuz on this July the 3rd. And let's talk a little bit about Parks Casino, shall we? The number one casino in Pennsylvania. Now online, right? No secret, I'm Philly proud and Pennsylvania proud. That's why I love telling you about Parks Casino and the Sportsbook. We're going to be there tonight, Cuz's Corner. Parks Casino and Sportsbook now have you covered for online sports betting right at your fingertips. Place all your favorite sports bets, point spreads, money lines, over-unders, even live in-game betting. All, think about this, at the click of a button from anywhere in Pennsylvania. That's right. Parks Casino and Sportsbook is up and running online. Sign up now. Get a risk-free bet up to $250 on your first deposit. Go to parkscasino.com/fan and type in the promo code SPORTS. Again, that's PARXCasino.com. Use promo code SPORTS to get your risk-free bet of $250. Bet with the best online, the number one casino in Pennsylvania. Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Football season around the corner. Never too early for your futures for the upcoming college and pro football seasons. Going to be awesome. Risk-free bet refunded on the losses of free bet. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey! 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 Hey!
Hello!
Hey! 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 Hey!
10:50.
Hey! Hey!
Midday show.
Hey! Hey!
What are you doing for the 4th, Holmes? You got anything good?
Yeah, you should listen to 97.5 The Fanatic tomorrow, 2 to 6.
Are you not doing our show?
No, I'm filling in for the Mikey Miss show tomorrow.
Are you on TV?
No. No TV. Everybody's off.
They're not. What's on?
I don't know. They'll probably have a rerun of something.
The game's tomorrow night.
Yeah, they'll probably have a rerun of something. But I'll be here 2 to 6. And then also Friday. And then Saturday.
Well, no, Friday you're with me.
With you, Mike, and then the baseball show.
Are you doing all three shows? That's my fault.
What up?
That's my fault because I wanted you with me Friday.
No, that's okay. I've done it before. I'll be all right.
Yeah. Now
listen, a few Red Bulls, a few coffees,
listen,
I'll be all
I'm
right.
I'm proud of you, man. You are. That's exactly what you need to do. You make yourself that important to the station. You're without you. There's a flat tire.
Yeah, I'm a Max Steel guy, you know?
It's good. I'm proud of you, man. You're doing great, too.
Thank you.
You really are. You're doing a great job. And I enjoy you're a sportsman. And, you know, I don't throw that around lightly.
Yeah, if I get the title of sportsman from Anthony Gargano, I'm feeling pretty good today.
No, you are. You're a great sportsman. I could be a little bit of a, you know, an a-hole when it comes to that stuff. Because it's all I care about, right? So, if you're not a sportsman, then I got no.
And then you're out.
I'm out, right? Like I need you to be a sportsman.
See, I'm a sportsman because yesterday, while I was also watching the Phillies, I was flipping back and forth with a Warriors Lakers summer league.
Yeah, see, that's what a sportsman does.
Half those guys aren't going to be on the team.
Right.
LeBron's going to say, "Who are you?"
Yeah, that's what a sportsman does, though. I got a feeling today. Or maybe tomorrow. We'll know in the next 2 days, Kawhi.
So Richard Jefferson just put out an interesting tweet. First of all, did you see his tweet he put out yesterday, Richard Jefferson?
No, what did he say?
He's coming back to the league.
He is?
Yeah. He said there's been a lot of speculation, and I want to report that I am coming back to the league, and he tagged Woj in it. I'm sure that's where he's going to go.
Yeah.
But then he just put out a tweet like 20 minutes ago saying, I have a feeling that Kawhi Leonard's going to say, bleep Canada. And say, I'm coming back to the States on July 4th. God bless America.
Yeah,
so maybe he's thinking tomorrow is the day, and it's going to be a team in the United States that he picks.
Yeah, I can say it. I can say it. I think he's going. I put it this way. I hope he goes Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that report? That now, you have to be careful what you read.
Right.
But there was a report. It might have been Windhurst who said that when he met with the Lakers, he wanted player control. Like he wanted input. Player
I didn't
input,
see that.
Which doesn't sound like him.
No, it doesn't sound like him. And plus, that job title's already given to somebody on the Lakers. LeBron.
Right. And that's why I was like, that doesn't make sense. I mean, you know. Now, it would make sense if you got it for the Clippers. Like, if you're the Clippers, do you give it to him?
Yeah. Where he can sort of maneuver a little bit what he wants. I mean, they have a decent squad, the Clippers. If you add Kawhi to that team, that's a very good team. with Beverly already there, Lou Will coming off the bench. That's a good squad.
Even Gallinari can,
yeah.
She can at least spread the floor for you. Can shoot it a little bit.
And let's face it.
That kid, the little guard that they got, Alexander.
Yeah. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but he's not bad.
Look at it. Look at what Kawhi just won with. It's not like Kawhi was surrounded by stars. He was surrounded by good players.
Yeah, but he also had veterans, you know?
Well, he's got some veterans in.
No, no, I know, but he had.
Beverly and Williams.
I mean, Kyle Lowry, Siakam is a hell of a
very good player.
And Kyle Lowry is tough, and Ibaka, and even smells like feet stepped up in the finals.
Well, I'll print out the rosters for you. The right. Clippers this season, if you add Kawhi, and the Raptors last season with Kawhi. Which one do you think's better?
Yeah, the other thing, too, is when we're talking about the Sixer team, they have the best roster in the East.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just us that's saying that.
Oh, yeah, it's all over, like the ESPNs, NBA TV.
Everybody has the Sixers. I don't know. I mean, I stack them up against Celtics and Pacers and... yeah, the Nets are different because no KD for this season. But Bucks, I mean...
And that's why you want Kawhi to go to the Clippers, because if he goes to the Lakers, let's face it, it's probably a wrap if the Sixers get to the NBA yeah. Finals, because they got to yeah. face LeBron, Kawhi, and also Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
If they get to the Finals and Kawhi's not on the Lakers and he's yeah. on the Clippers, who knows who comes out of the West?
I agree. Let's go to Mark in South Philly. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. I'm appreciating the Hoops talk. I just thought of something real quick. Maybe
sure.
LeBron doesn't want Kawhi, and that's why he had Windhorst put out that story. That doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah, listen, I kind of hope that's the case, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I kind of always thought that was a little bit weird. I feel like, I don't know, I don't think LeBron wants him, but whatever. We'll see. But anyway, going back to the Ben Q rating thing,
yeah,
like I'm really hoping now that he agrees to a contract that maybe a lot of the reason why his Q rating is low, people are always saying, oh, he wants to go to L.A. He doesn't really want to be here.
It's a great point.
So if they can like get that out of their heads, and then also too, like he's not a clown like Embiid. If you want him to be like a Mamba, he's going to have to be a jerk sometimes, and
yeah.
I think we'll eventually accept that. I mean, I feel like it's going to be all right.
Yeah, he's, and you accurately depict him too. He's a more serious kid, right? Like he's a,
yeah.
I mean, he's 22 years old, he's young, but he comes across more like he's 30.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? And I think that, again, I think if we need a killer in him, we don't want Joel. So I think it's going to be all right. And then the last thing I just want to mention was, you know, I think everybody's all up in arms about, like, the contracts and thinking we're going to be in, like, cap hell or something. And, like, I know some of these contracts are a little bit crazy, but if this isn't, like, Kenny Thomas and B-Skin we're talking about here. You know
wow.
what I mean? I think
B-Skin! A B-Skin reference! Do you got FanFest tickets?
No, I don't.
You do now, brother, with that okay. B-Skin reference. And by the way, your point is dead on.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
I mean, what does it really matter what you're paying yeah. Tobias? You got to pay him anyway, so you get him the fifth year instead of the fourth year. What does it really matter?
And they're smart enough to figure it out. This is not like, you know, the old days when we were stuck for years in purgatory switching out Derek Coleman and bringing in, you know, Big Dog or whatever. This is different. We're going to be all right, no matter what.
I love
guys,
it, Mark. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. You and I see it the same way. Listen, hold on, because I want to get your FanFest tickets, okay?
All right, cool.
Thanks brother. Appreciate it. B-Skin. I used to rail on the B-Skin.
You know, it's a good show if Brian Skinner's brought up.
Yeah, man. B-Skin. It's like if the Pat Egan's brought up. Pegan. Here he is. What's that look for? He always got looks, this dude.
he's going to walk over to the mic. What do you got?
What's up, buddy?
I like to consider myself a more Corliss Williamson type.
That's a good bust out name right there, Corliss. I like it. Let's go to, who's that in Mount Airy? It's cut off. Who's that, AC? Who do you see? Just C? Just like Colosio? C.
That's
C. What's up, C?
How you feel?
What's going on, C?
Hey, I love you guys' show. I always take my fiance to work around this time. And I really like your show. And
thank you.
Because I've been following you, I'm a lifetime Philadelphia, so I've been following you for a long time.
Oh, thank you. See?
Yeah. I have one quick comment. I want to talk about Ben, but I have one quick comment about the Phillies. I just want to congratulate Nola for a great game. You know, I think juicing the ball and kind of messing with the seams kind of messed with him, and he kind of had to get it together, and I think he's going to be fine.
That's a good point, you know, and maybe that did. Maybe that was one of the things, because the ball is different this year, that kind of got in his head. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, Ben, now, let me press.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.